Provost Fisher.
Thank you.
Our next committee meeting is Finance and Budget, and we have Chair McKinney with us to lead that discussion.
All right. We have four items on our agenda today. The first one is acceptance of the auditor's statements for WKYU-TV and WKYU-FM radio ended June 30th, 2021. We'll have a presentation from Crowe.
I'm just going to make a couple of notes after we talk. So Jeff, can we forward, or do you have to?
Yeah.
Right there.
Okay. So as Chair McKinney talked about, Brad Shelley from Crowe is here to talk about the public radio and television audit, as well as the NCAA agreed upon procedures. Just a couple of things, and then I'll turn it over to Brad. So the radio and television, that was a clean audit, unqualified opinion. That's the best audit you can have, so congratulations to them. And the NCAA agreed upon procedures. There were no exceptions noted. Again, that's the best that you can do. So, Brad, I'll turn it over to you.
Sure. Thank you. Stand just so I can speak and you can hear me a little bit better. But thank you all again for allowing me to present. I was here last month and talked through the financial statements of the university, and so happy to be here to talk through the TV, radio, and NCAA procedures we did. So, as I just mentioned, you know, those are the three that we're going to cover today. I'll plan to go ahead and talk through all three. I think they're separate, maybe motions or items on your agenda. So if you want me to split those up, I can. But the other letters and reports that are listed here at the bottom, I'll list here again just so that you'll have a good picture of everything that we've covered and all the reports we've presented to the year. All of those others were presented in the prior month. So as it relates to the TV and radio financial statements, again, these are as of June 30, 2021. Those were issued in earlier this month. We also, along with the audit, we do a certification that is required by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So that's something that we do both for TV and radio, and an electronic certification. That was completed at the same time, and as Susan mentioned, we had unqualified or unmodified opinions on both financial statements, so a clean opinion. This may be a little bit hard to see because it's a little bit smaller font and a lot of numbers on here, but really this is just meant to be a snapshot, quick overview, comparison of the 2 years. So the first column and the upper half of this screen is for the TV, and so you can see just year over year that assets increased, liabilities also increased, net position was a slight increase there from a negative 2.1 to a negative 1.7 million. And again, just as a reminder, the majority of that is related to net pension, net OPEB liabilities that were recorded. Required to be recorded by GASB a few years ago, so that's really the cause of that negative position. As you look at the revenues and expenses, you'll see fairly consistent, a slight dip in both of those, but overall you still end up with a change in net position. It's a positive $369,000. On the radio side, which is the bottom half of your screen there, again you'll see in this instance, an increase in assets and deferred outflows, also an increase in liabilities and deferred inflows, and a overall net position that is a positive, about $500,000. The one thing that's a little bit different here, when you look at the income statement side of things for radio, there was a little bit more of an impact from the net pension and OPEB liabilities. As a reminder, the way those get recorded for TV and radio is that they are allocated based off of FTEs, and so sometimes that has a more significant impact depending on how the FTEs for the overall university are then the liabilities and related deferred inflows and outflows are impacted a little bit more on TV, radio. So you see a little bit more of an impact there, and that's why you see a change in a position that's smaller than the previous year. The last couple of things here related to the TV and radio. Again, these audits are done under generally accepted auditing standards and also under government auditing standards, as it falls underneath the university umbrella as a department of the umbrella or department of university. No real significant accounting policy changes or accounting estimate changes. Those are all consistent with previous years, so nothing to be concerned about there. And the bottom line here is an important one as well. No material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal controls. So that's a key thing to note. We also had no posted adjustments, no waived adjustments. So we did not identify any adjustments that needed to be made. Again, another positive. And then as far as the other communications, no significant difficulties, no disagreements, no issues at all during the audit process. We were able to work with management and get all the information and requests that we needed, complete the audit on time, and be able to do the certification as planned. So thank you all to that team. Do you want to stop and...
No.
Okay. So as far as the last report I want to touch on was the NCAA report. Again, just as a quick overview here, this is a required report that we do, agreed upon procedures. These procedures that are listed here, and there's 53 revenue testing procedures, 65 expense, the additional minimum procedures, and then they added on another 12 minimum procedures for other reporting. I think it got cut off other reporting information. Those are all required by the NCAA, by the article that's listed there. All Division I universities, colleges have the same procedures that have to be done on an annual basis. And so before we jump into the results of those, the first schedule, if you were looking at the report in the packet, is the schedule of revenue and expenses. And this breaks down the revenues and expenses by major sports and then other sports, and then by the major categories of revenue and expenses. And again, the categories that are prescribed there are NCAA prescribed categories. So there's 19 categories of expenses, 19 categories of revenue and 22 categories of expenses listed. The current year revenue and expense is about $28.9 million compared to about $31.5 million in the previous year. And then comparing direct institutional support was about right at $13 million versus about $14 million this year. So there's a lot of categories within there. I pull those two out as the key ones for a couple of reasons. One, just the overall revenue and expense. So the way it works on this schedule is it has to balance to zero. So your revenues and expenses do balance. The difference there is your institutional support. And so as you're looking at that, you know, how much support is being provided by the university for the athletics. So when you see that number decrease from $14 million to $13 million, that's the positive in the sports athletics was generating more revenue and or spending less dollars and needed less support for the university overall. Obviously, as you look at the revenue and expense as a total, you'll see that decreased a little bit. COVID was the primary impact with that. Of course, in FY20, you had a much less impact there. FY21, there was a much more significant impact as related to both COVID expenses and then less revenues related to that. As far as the actual procedures, just a few things to point out in here. Procedure 4, there were 3 balances that were greater than 10% of total revenues and had a variance greater than 10% from the prior years. I point that out just because there is an explanation listed in there. That's the required procedure, is to look at categories like that. There were 3 balances in there. All the explanations appear to be reasonable, so no concerns there. Procedure 12, and revenue was the only other one that had any kind of documentation in there. And there was an immaterial variance in the indirect institutional support. This is pretty common. We have a variance every year, and with working with some other colleges and universities, again, that's pretty common. I pointed out because it was a $7,200 variance, but that's out of $4.6 million of indirect institutional support, so very immaterial variance there. All the other procedures under revenue had no exceptions or were not applicable, and similarly on the expense side, all of those had no exceptions or were not applicable. Lastly, looking at the additional minimum procedures, I point out this one procedure, 1B, just because, again, there's a lot of documentation in that report on that procedure. And so this one, there were 11 sports that had variances year over year of plus or minus 4%. As we looked at that, you know, obviously that makes sense. You're going to have a lot of variance when you're looking at COVID and the impacts that had. So there were a number of reasons in there that we listed out there, a variety of things, either increase or decrease in scholarship team members. In some instances, it was related to cost of tuition, potentially for some of the students, depending on where they are coming from, whether they're in-state, out-of-state, et cetera. But then, as I mentioned, one of the overriding factors was related to COVID-19 and the impacts that had, especially related to the additional year that the NCAA granted to athletes for most sports. None of the other procedures had any exceptions or they were not applicable. So, I know it's a quick overview, but if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. And again, thank you for both the athletic department and the TV radio stations and working with us to be able to complete those procedures.
Thank you, Marriott. Okay, Marriott went over both FB1 and FB2 in that presentation, so we'll tackle FB1 first. Do I have a motion to approve or to accept the auditor's report and financial statements for WKYU TV and WKYU FM radio for the year ended June 30th, 2021?
So moved.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, James. All right, does anybody have any questions or comments on these auditor reports? Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign.
Abstain. Please no. Thanks.
Thank you. Motion carries. And then FB2, do I have a motion to accept the accountant's report on application of agreed upon procedures, NCAA compliance report for the year ended June 30th, 2021?
So moved.
Thank you, Regent Brinkley. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Regent Winston. Any discussion on this item? All right, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. All right, that motion carries as well. Thank you guys very much.
All right. Todd Stewart's sitting in with us, and take a second to compliment him on a clean report. I would assume you had something to do with that.
All right. The next item on our list is FB3, acceptance for filing of a statement of revenues and expenditures for the 6 months ended December 31st, 2021 and 2020. Susan, would you like to?
Sure. Jeff, can you bring that back up? So just some introductory comments. So this is our second quarter budget versus actual report. Just overall, the university continues to do a good job of stabilizing finances. And so overall revenue was 71% of the total budget for this fiscal year. This time last year was 70% of the total budget. So that's trending well. If you look, drill down a bit more into revenue, net tuition revenue, that's simply our gross tuition revenue less institutional scholarships, That's trending as I reported in the first quarter. It is trending below budget. And what we did, anticipating this, we held back some year-end funds as a contingency to cover that shortfall. So we were anticipating somewhere between 8 and 10 million for the total year. And so we held back about 8 million at year end to cover the shortfall. So the good news on the tuition revenue is that early indications are that the fall to spring retention looks good. So our spring tuition revenue is trending above what we anticipated. So that's good news on the tuition revenue side. Grants and contracts on the revenue side, just remember you'll see a light change on the expenditure side, is trending significantly higher than the prior year, and most of that is directly related to the federal and state CARES funding that we received from the government. Other revenue, sales and service are trending higher than the prior year, primarily because of the resumption of campus programs and activities.
Before you move on the net tuition revenue, would you mind just addressing, there was a pretty big jump in the institutional financial assistance from the new scholarship programs. Can you just address how we think that's affected us, and would the gross tuition been lower if we hadn't implemented those?
Sure. So you're correct. It is trending upward because of the new scholarship program. But what we found and what would have been the case is that the decline in enrollment would have been greater had we not instituted the financial aid program, and that would have more than offset the increase in financial aid. So it's done exactly what we hoped it would have done. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Thank
you. Rita McKinney, if I could also jump in. I think the other thing to know about the scholarship program is how it's shaping the incoming class. And so you'll recall in the fall semester, we reported that the first year students had the best academic profile of any incoming class in the history of the university, the highest GPA ever. Because we're shaping that academic profile, you're seeing our retention numbers grow. And I'm not gonna make any news on that today, but they are in very good shape from fall to spring. When they're finalized, we'll bring those to you. But because of that, you see revenue in the spring being up again as well. So again, thinking about the totality of the strategy and the reason that we went to an expanded scholarship program, it's doing what we hoped it would do as soon as possible.
Thank you.
So quickly turning to the expenditure side, I continue to say this in the second quarter as I did in the first quarter. The university is the vice presidents, directors are doing a good job controlling the expenditures, and that's what we hoped. If you remember right, in the prior year budget, we put the control of it managing expenditures at the central level, and in this budget, we basically loosened those central controls, or basically got rid of them, and put the control out at the deans and vice presidents and directors levels. And they are doing exactly what we had hoped. They are controlling the expense level of the university. So overall, it's tracking slightly higher than prior year, but this is primarily because of these two categories that you'll see on your report. Equipment is over budget, and that's primarily related to reimbursable COVID-related purchases. And again, those are reimbursable, but it's trending up on the expenditure side. And the federal student financial aid is up due primarily because of the direct reimbursements to our students that we paid off balances and all of that. So the final note under direct expenditures, supplies and expenses are tracking below the prior year. That's what I was talking about, the deans and vice presidents and directors doing what we hoped they would do and controlling the expenses of the university.
Susan, if I could ask a little about that. So, and we've talked about this already. This is that last year we were way under what we budgeted for that, as well as we were, as you said, had centralized control for it. And this year we're way under what we budgeted for it, as the deans have taken on ownership of the expenses in their own area. Are we then over-budgeting in that area? Are we tracking towards what would be true expenditures? Or are they holding back and we're going to see a surge at some particular point? Because this is significantly under budget. So, you know, what's the long-term how do we deal with this moving forward?
Right, and I think that goes to our new budget model. So I think I don't think you're going to see this surge of spending at the end, because the destiny is in the hands of the deans and vice presidents. So they certainly don't want to make any big spending at the end, because it wouldn't make sense to a decentralized budget model. So I don't think you're going to see that, Shane. I think the deans and vice presidents want to maintain their spending. Now, as far as are we budgeting and spending from the correct categories? Again, I think in an incremental budget model, you kind of, year over year, there's not a lot of changes to those categories. In a responsibility center budget or a decentralized budget model, you're going to see the deans really budgeting down probably at a better level than what we've done in the past. So, does that answer your question?
Yes, I'm just thinking about tracking this over time and what this would mean for next year's budget and what we see at this level versus the granular level in the colleges. And so,
we might see some variations, but I think the variations can be explained primarily through the deans explaining that this budget was previously in S&E or supplies and expense, and we moved it into travel to better reflect what we're going to actually travel. And then finally, on the expenditure side, the personnel expenditures, congratulations to the university units for really holding on their personnel expenditures. And they're in line with the prior year. And again, taking off those central controls, the deans and vice presidents are doing what they need to do to control their expenses for their unit. So that's all I have on the second quarter budget versus actual.
All right. Thank you, Sydney. I'll entertain a motion to accept the filing of the statement of revenues and expenditures for the 6 months ended December 31st, 2021 and 2020. Do I have that motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Regent Brinkley. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Regent Spiller. Does anybody have any further discussion or questions?
Chair, I want to comment very quickly. I want to just, for the board, note an appreciation for Susan and her team in scheduling, prioritizing, and meeting with the faculty, regent, and myself prior to each one of these meetings. That's been a good way for us to get questions at different levels answered, and I appreciate that time prioritization. I know it's difficult, but that's been a plus in our world, so thank you.
And I would just follow up, and I try to share this with faculty, senate, and others. I've not found any questions that I've asked yet. If there's any ducking of any questions, an honest engagement, and everyone seems to be very on top of things. And I'm pretty attuned to people trying to hide things, and I'm not sensing that at all. So there's a common cause of a call on campus for transparency, and this is one of the things that contributes to that. So I appreciate that as well.
Very good. Thank you for those comments, guys.
Before you begin, if I could comment on Regent Spiller's comment on transparency and the process we used, a reminder that as we began the shift about 4 years ago to the decentralized budget model, we talked about representation, we talked about a process that was clear, and as a reminder, we continue to follow that process. It's everywhere out there in terms of how we go through building the budget. It's going to follow the same process this year that we followed in previous years. And I continue to be committed to not just transparency, but involving control of budgets to deans and vice presidents. And again, this is exciting that we are where we are. And I'm thankful for the leadership of Susan and Bud, but also our deans and vice presidents. They've just done a terrific job with the control that's been devolved to them. And I think you're going to begin to see additional strategic rewards to that as they make decisions for their organizations and how they deploy those resources in a decentralized way versus those decisions being made centrally.
All right. Did I have any other comments or questions?
Well, I'll make a comment as well and echo what others have said, and also shout out appreciation to everybody on this committee, particularly Chair McKinney, who's had his sleeves rolled up for years now, doing a great job with that committee. But it's interesting to note that the sky didn't fall when we put both the staff and faculty regents on that committee. And I appreciate the work that Susan's done with both of them and the work that they've done.
Very good.
All right, if there's no other discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. The three motion carries. The last item on our agenda for today is FB4, approval of faculty and staff personnel actions.
I really don't have any comments about that. It's a pretty standard report. It's all the personnel actions that happened in the second quarter, along with any one-time compensation type payments.
Very good. Do I have any questions or comments on this item? All right, hearing none. I need a motion. I have a motion to approve FB4 faculty personnel action.
So moved.
All right, thank you, Regent West. Do I have a second?
Second.
Oh, I got to have a committee member.
Second.
Thank you, Regent Brandon. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. All right, that motion carries.
Real quick, Todd was going to make a comment earlier, and you moved on.
Oh, did I?
He's listening to us now.
Todd, did you want to make a comment earlier, and I missed you? Okay. Very good. And that does conclude my meeting.
Okay.